Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
I believe that we're live now. Okay, so hello, everyone. Welcome to the High Thrive Coaching Podcast. We run these every week here, bringing information to all of you on how to handle relationships on marriage, especially relationships that are in crisis, but just, you know, relationships in general. And I know with everything going on right now, a lot of you probably feel like you're in crisis. So in case you haven't been listening to all the many other podcast episodes that we put out there, my name is Mark Johnston. I am an international relationship coach, which means I talk to people all over the world about their relationships and marriages. And, you know, essentially what we try to do here is we try to help all of you with some tools and tips, making sure that you guys can weather through some of the storms of having a relationship. So this week, what I wanted to talk about was dealing with relationship stress during an event such as a pandemic. Now, I know all of you are probably, you know, if you're anything like me, there's probably a lot of additional stress going on right now. And I wanted to help all of you get a better handle on dealing with that stress during a crisis like this. There are actually some simple shifts in thought or action that can make a huge difference in being able to get a handle on things. But before we get to that, what we always do, what we always go over every week is a client win of the week. So this win here, this comes from one of our coaching clients. And as always, names are changed to protect identity. So Aubrey was sharing that after many, many months of essentially seeing her husband stonewalling her, not talking at all about things, and basically lots and lots of distance, hardly interacting with her. She said that her husband started to touch her recently and has started to come around in terms of conversation. Now I'm going to point out that typically in scenarios like this, you know, people don't start to introduce any sort of sexual interest or anything along those lines unless there is some level of comfort in the relationship and there is some interest in being around the other person. Now, sometimes, you know, people will skip some of those steps, but, you know, typically it's an indication that things are progressing. And Aubrey was really excited about that because, you know, she hadn't had any of that attention from her husband in 9 months, or many months. What she attributed to the shift is specifically our trainings on empathy and learning to listen and understand her husband quite a bit more. You know, what will happen during a crisis, a marriage crisis, is that someone starts pulling away. It's easy for us to say, well, they should have done this differently. You know, here are these problems that they're presenting to us. And if they just done, you know, X, Y, or Z differently, they wouldn't be having these problems. And what that does essentially is invalidate the concerns that the spouse who's leaning away from the relationship is putting out there. And oftentimes a lot of understanding and empathy can reverse a lot of that damage. A thing to note here is that Aubrey had a long period here where she did not do well, where she was being very aggressive, was blaming her husband. And as, you know, she started turning on that empathy a little bit more, she started to see some results. You know, so things that she expressed, she's like, hey, the program does work. She's really excited about, you know, everything that she's been learning. And, you know, it's always good. It's always feels very nice on my end to see, you know, some of the material that I've written or the things that I've said to people. It's really sunk in and made a difference. So on with the topic for today, which, you know, I'm sure you're all here for that. You're wondering, okay, things are rough. Things are feeling a bit stressful. Maybe you're feeling some anxiety as you're not sure what's going on. If you're looking for just a note, if you're looking for more information on how to handle this sort of situation, I did just talk about this on Friday, and you should look that up as well. But, you know, I wanted to further the conversation here. And so how do you deal with relationship stress when a lot of other stressors are really hammering down on you? I mean, you know, having problems with the relationship can be difficult as it is. And when you throw on top all this additional stressors such as a pandemic, disruption of schedule or other expectations, or maybe a loss of income, an inability to use typical coping mechanisms because there's not as much space, people are much more quickly going to reach their stress threshold. Ah, there's that SH sound right in the world. And things start to spiral out of control. So what is that stress threshold that I'm talking about here? So basically, most everyone has some ability to handle some amount of worry or stress or anxiety. And everyone also has a threshold for that or a breaking point where once reached, they're going to be much less likely to act rationally. People tend, you know, when they start to approach that threshold or cross that threshold, people tend to lean towards, you know, specific quirks or unhealthy behavior. I've said many times here on the podcast, like me, I know myself. I know that when I tend to get much more stressed, I tend to lean more towards some depressive symptoms and I shut down and I don't want to deal with anything and I just close people out. That's when I'm really, really not feeling well. You know, ideally, I don't get to that space very often. And, you know, I do what I can to maintain my healthy mindset. But even I do get to that point on occasion. And what my point here, though, is everyone has a threshold and everyone reacts to that in different ways. You know, our body essentially sends us into a fight or flight mode at this point. And in terms of relationship issues, that sometimes means avoidance, like I was just mentioning, or stonewalling, like was going on with Aubrey, or maybe an escalating argument, defensiveness, contempt, or criticism, you know, some of those precursors to separation. You know, even earlier this week, like I said, you know, I'm not immune to these things myself. Earlier this week, you know, my wife Jen and I were really stressed. We were starting to approach some of those thresholds. The kids were acting up because they're all home from school. They're getting bored and they're starting to cause fights with each other. And I bet if any of you have young kids, you probably know a little bit what I'm talking about. Our home really wasn't a peaceful environment, and both Jen and I need that calm to be able to remain calm ourselves, or it's just very difficult otherwise. So my wife responded by going into power mode, and she was cleaning and snapping at people who came to talk to her. You know, I responded by retreating, not wanting to talk to anyone. And I soon, you know, after I took a break from things, I realized, okay, I need to do something different here. So what did I do to resolve this? As I started to take charge of some things. Our tendency, I'm going to explain that in a second. Our tendency, most people's tendency, you know, I want to know if any of you have heard these sort of things said, you know, as stress has risen up, or as people have talked about problems. You know, you might hear your spouse or yourself saying, okay, things will be better when blank, or if only Johnny or Susie or my husband or my wife did blank, if they only communicated more, if they only helped out, if they only wanted the marriage a little bit more, if they only would work on things, things would be better. Or, you know, just boiling it down, my husband, my wife just needs to do whatever it is. This is essentially an act of blaming others. And where some, you know, of course, many times this is going to be valid. You know, you might say, well, if only my husband would end his affair, things would be better. Of course it would. I'm not going to discount that. But it is some amount of blaming others and waiting for change, waiting for solutions to come from others. And essentially, that right there, a waiting for others to change, waiting for solutions from others, does in and of itself can create a lot of stress in these situations. If you think about it, like during a pandemic, we're saying, okay, if only our president would put in these measures, or if only people would stay inside, it would just, you know. And what happens is we give away a lot of our control to other situations, other people. And oddly enough, it, you know, it's a sense of control that can really calm things down and provide a lot of sense, you know, remove a lot of that tension, remove a lot of that anxiety and stress. I think I shared Friday, you know, a response that Jen and I had to the pandemic. So my wife was really worried about things. She had heard, you know, stores are running out. And so she's worried about what's going to happen. Like, are we going to have enough of what we need? And so I said, you know what, Jen, I'd like to take a moment and let's think about what do we need. And then let's go make a plan here. Let's go actually get out and get some supplies. And I'm going to tell you, like, immediately, as soon as, like, there's some sense of control over the situation, my wife calmed down very quickly. And I'm not saying I have some sort of magical power, but I will say, I mean, that is quite often my role in many situations is, you know, my wife is the one that gets out and does things and makes sure that we're progressing forward and really pushes us and motivates us. And I'm the one that really calms things down and makes sure everyone feels safe and secure. What this is in, you know, within psychological terms, this is a matter of an external locus of control versus an internal locus of control. Essentially, it's where do we feel like our sense of control lies? Is it externally, outside of ourselves, or is it internal? And generally, it's thought that a strong internal locus of control is a person, someone who has a strong internal locus of control is someone who's much better able to provide calm and eliminate stress in their life. But yeah, all that blame of others, all that, you know, things will be better when someone does this, all that waiting for change from others are all tendencies that we turn to in matter when we are stressed. And they're all examples of an external locus of control. It gives away our power and our sense of calm or control over our circumstances. As we say, other people will do this and I don't, or other people need to fix this and I don't know whether they will. And that hugely increases that stress and anxiety. So, you know, what does this mean then? If we're trying to reduce stress, reduce anxiety during a really stressful time like this, a time when we are not sure what's going to happen, it means that a shift needs to happen towards an internal locus of control, meaning, once again, that our sense of control lies within us. A strong internal locus of control means we believe ourselves capable of affecting our circumstances. We go about, we set plans, and we follow through. You know, shifting towards that internal locus of control, it's very important as you're trying to make that shift that you ask yourself a few questions. How can I make a difference? Might be one. When I saw my wife stressed, I could have sat there and said, you know, there's nothing I can do. She's stressed and she needs to get over it. She's the one that's stressed. It's her problem, I could have said. You know, and this is such a low scale example, but it's the first one that comes to mind as I talk about this. The result of that, though, would have been my wife would have continued to be stressed and anxious and panic, and that would have affected everyone else in the family. And so instead, I asked myself, okay, how can I make a difference here? I said, okay, I'm going to go approach my wife. I'm going to go help her to calm down. And next question is, what do I have some control over? I couldn't physically make my wife calm down. And I don't want this to, you know, I don't want to portray this as like my wife is always needing this or anything. Like she provides a whole lot to our marriage. I don't want it. But in this case, this is where my forte was coming in. But you know, I was asking myself, what do I have control over in this situation? Where I couldn't directly control my wife's emotions. I knew enough about these sort of circumstances that I knew if my wife felt a sense of some stability, a plan, it would very likely help her to feel more calm. similar situations, you know, sometimes when, you know, we have family members that have health concerns, my wife really wants, it starts to worry about them when these things happen. And I provide a sense of a plan, giving her a sense of control over the situation really helps calm her down. You know, as we're asking ourselves these questions, how can I make a difference? What do I have control over? You know, even before we get into those, it's important to ask yourself, what do I want? Oftentimes we go into this, these sort of situations, not really understanding what it is that we're trying to get out of all this. You know, I ask people, what do they want all the time? And they'll say, well, I want happiness. I want calm. I want, you know, any number of very broad, vague goals. And those become really difficult to get to work on because, you know, it just seems too overwhelming, too broad. And so, you know, you might, you know, like I mentioned on Friday's special podcast, you might need to break some of those goals down. And, you know, a further question is, how am I going to get the things that I want? Do you hear all these questions here? There's not really any necessarily a set order to these, but all of these are directing the circumstances towards yourself taking action, yourself, you know, organizing things. And, you know, really identifying a direction to go in. You know, if we had to even go further with questions, if others are providing obstacles, what is my response and how I still go about achieving my goals? You know, it was very possible in that moment, you know, as I tried to provide a plan for my wife, she could have rejected it. She said, no, we can't do the X, Y, or Z. Like maybe we can't spend money for extra supplies, or maybe the kids need us here, or whatever it happens to be. If I'm still trying to provide control there, you know, people will provide obstacles like that. Now, my wife didn't in this case, but sometimes people do. And you can still go about asking yourself, okay, even if these obstacles are in place, how might I go about achieving my goals, going through with my plan, even if others are placing obstacles in the way? The risk here within a relationship, I mean, this is very simple concept if you're just talking about yourself. You know, if you go about saying, okay, this is what I want. I'm going to break my goals down. This is how I'm going to get it. This is my first step. It's all very simple, but now you involve someone else's will, someone else's choices, and it starts to get a bit more complicated. And, you know, we start to ask, have a bit of a balance of providing control or stability and being controlling. Recently, I was talking with a client whose spouse was, you know, had been engaged in an affair. And my client really wanted some safety and security, wanted some assurance that the affair was ending. And the spouse thought that a lot of these measures for assurance was much too controlling. It was limiting their options. And there becomes this fine line of like, okay, let's provide some sense of control and some way forward and without being controlling. And I just want to touch on that for a moment. You know, if we're trying to provide control and stability, if we're trying to reduce that tension or anxiety or stress, that control and stability is about providing expectations and a sense of a plan. Being in control, like, you know, having that stability means confidence and decisive action. It means looking at your own actions. You know, what do I need to do rather than what do other people need to do to solve this? You know, we might say, okay, well, yeah, I'm taking control over my life. I'm taking control over my own marriage by demanding that my partner, you know, have physical affection with me, or by telling them that by demanding that they emotionally connect with me and have this conversation. You know, honestly, I do hear people do these sort of things, or they're saying I'm being very confident by telling my partner how it is and what I want. But being in control is not that. It's looking at your own actions and making sure that the changes that are being enacted apply to you if it doesn't have to apply to other people, it applies just as much to you. Being controlling, however, does not allow for choice. It does not allow for someone to be flexible or look for other solutions. Being controlling requires other people to change. And being controlling punishes others for not cooperating. This is a really fine line to walk, especially if this is a sensitive area in your marriage. And it's not something that I can easily explain within a few minutes on a podcast on this one subtopic for this week. And if this is an area that you're really struggling against, like if your spouse is saying that you're being too controlling and you're wondering why, I'm just going to say you're going to need some support on that. And, certainly we would love to help you if you're interested. Let us know in the comments. But essentially, to kind of summarize what all is going on here is if you're looking to manage stress during this very stressful time, this is going to be about you, as in how having that internal locus of control, making sure that you yourself are examining what you have control over and what you can affect and where you can make a difference and what rules can apply to you to change or shift things. This isn't everything, like I said, and certainly I do talk about this quite a bit more, even on Friday's podcast. And so if you're needing a little bit more information, please don't just think, okay, this is all that's needed. There are other aspects. I'm just saying that for you to reduce your own stress, a sense of control over the situation is needed. And my only other caution is don't cross that line of taking control over your situation. Don't take it to the point of being controlling over others, where their choices, their opinions aren't really considered. That will ultimately, essentially that takes away control from them and increases their stress and anxiety. And now you have this, another situation going on here. So that's what I have to say about this. Now, as always, if you need help, let us know. We can see what we can do to give you support. We are being, fairly flexible on some of our plans these days. And so if you've tried to get help from us before and you thought it was too expensive, check us out again. We are opening the doors a bit more and wanting to make sure that we can have a plan that fits you. Now, as always, every week during the podcast, we have what I call a marriage myth buster. And this comes about from an encounter that I had late last week. I was helping a client set some boundaries within their relationship. And, it wasn't a huge surprise to me, but as this person, as this gentleman was placing boundaries within the relationship, it was perceived by his wife as him being controlling over her. Exactly what we were talking about just a moment ago. And I bring this up as a myth because I hear it over and over and over again, this idea that if my spouse is placing some limitations on me, or if I need to place limitations on my spouse, then it is the same as being controlling or controlled. Here's the thing. People don't like limitations. They don't. Oftentimes when limitations are placed, an immediate question that pops up is this idea of why. Why can't you go further? Why can't you have more? Why can't you have everything? Now, most of the time as adults, we can logically provide our own reasons for this. We can say, okay, well, I can't have more cake because if I have more cake, then other people can't have cake. And so it makes sense. They might say, okay, I can't go past this, this velvet rope thing, this rope divider here in the museum, because probably past that are areas that are not ready to be displayed, or maybe it's offices or something. We can give ourselves some reasons for this, and we can accept some amount of control in the or limitations in these circumstances. But what will happen is, within a relationship, a lot of these pieces of control become murky. And someone who is actively being controlling might shut down many of these questions of why. And there isn't really any reason given. And it's not out of maliciousness. It's not out of an attempt to be controlling. It's more out of a sense that everyone understands the reasons for the limitations or the control. You know, going back to this client that I was talking about, whose spouse was had been engaged in an affair. You know, it seemed reasonable to my client, saying, "Hey, I need to be able to know where you are," because that's all that was said. What was left unsaid was that my client really felt insecure within the relationship, that he was worried about, the affair continuing. And, you know, as we dug deeper into that, it was really about a sense of feeling out of control and a sense of disrespect, as though the pain that he was experiencing wasn't being considered. That scenario is much more understanding. It's understandable if someone saying, "I really need some assurance and some respect in my life." And what I'm going to say is, if you were trying to get around this idea that limitations are, it is by very definition controlling, if we want to get around this sort of interaction, a person setting healthy boundaries does really need to help there to be a lot of understanding on both sides. When I work with clients, I talk a lot about setting healthy boundaries. And it involves a fair amount of, you know, explaining the healthy reasons to set limits. And like I mentioned here with this client that I was talking with, it wasn't just about saying to his wife, "I need to know where you're at." I helped him to be able to communicate to his wife the deeper emotional reasons that were actually very reasonable. And even beyond that, the understanding for the reasons for the boundaries is needed, the understanding for why those boundaries might be difficult, where, you know, on the person where we are placing limitations. You know, in this case, I talked to my client about his wife's response, her not liking the limitations he was setting, because one, it restricted some of her freedom, so she said. As long as we have something that acknowledges that addresses those needs as well, then we get around this idea that limitations is an act of someone being controlling, and we get into this dialogue, we get into this understanding. So, you know, once again, I mean, this is not a simple matter. There are so many nuances to these sort of interactions. And, you know, we've been kind of going over a lot of topics today. So if you are really having difficulty handling the stress during a crisis like this, or you're really having a difficult time, you know, with complaints from your spouse about being controlling or feeling controlled yourself, not being respected, not feeling heard, not feeling validated, if you need some support, please, please talk to us. It's exactly what we're here for. Now, I'm going to admit, we might respond to you and say, "Hey, here is a plan. Here's our plan going forward," which involves meeting with us, which will involve a cost. But, you know, I'm going to say these sort of things are difficult to navigate without an outside perspective, a neutral outside perspective, someone who can look at things very objectively, you know, like myself. So if you need help, let us know, and we would love to help you. Next week, you know, as things develop, especially with the pandemic and whatnot, we're going to continue to talk about this. I want to make sure that we are giving you plenty of tools, plenty of support during a crisis like this. And I'm going to keep giving more material on this until it all dies down. And you guys tell me to, we're tired of it. We're done. We're feeling secure. We want to talk about some other things. So I'm really wanting to focus on making sure that you all feel better and secure during this uncertain time right here. So we'll be continuing to talk about that next week. So tune in. We'll be right here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. And, you know, of course, these do go on YouTube as well. So thank you all for listening. And I will see you all next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.